Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with evangelist Adalys Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Facebook and Instagram or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's evangelist Adalys.
But welcome to the broadcast. We're going to be in, where are we going to be? Guys, I don't know. There's so much that I want to share. I don't know where to start. Okay, let's do this. Let's start in Matthew 16. I'm probably going to go ahead and this is going to have to be like multiple ones because I don't want to keep you here all day. You know what I mean? Let's keep it short and sweet, John Bellion. Let's keep it simple and sweet, John Bellion. But anyway, so I was reading. So, okay, we've been studying the book of Matthew for quite some time with my daughter. And I've read this passage, I don't know, a zillion times throughout my Christian career. Can I call it that? But anyway, for whatever reason, this really stood out to me. And I wanted to share it with you because it's really opened my eyes to understand the power of your seeing. So the last episode that we talked about was the power to ignore. Because if you really want to tap into your healing, if you want to tap into the blessing, the favor, things that the Bible has already instructed us, you know, that belong to us, we have to be convinced of those things with the eyes of our understanding. And if that does not match up, or if what we see does not match up with the Word of God, we ignore it. We have to throw it out. And it's not to deny what's happening. Some of y'all, you can't deny that there's the tumor. There it is. It's just like waving at you. But you can ignore it. And you can come to a place where, you know, where that really ignoring zaps the fear because you're telling it, you're not going to control me. Some of you are held in bondage so much, to fear. And I don't even know if you realize it or not, but like that pain, that those things that you see that have manifested in the natural, they have gripped you. They're literally like shackles and they've tied you down and you're in bondage and you don't even know it. And every time you look at that thing and start to worry and it gives life to that fear. And you can't, you're not going to grow out of that. You cannot be healed being overwhelmed by what you see in the natural. But you can be healed by being overwhelmed with what you see found in the Word of God. I am healed by His stripes. He has already made me whole. That's already been done. So if it's already been done, then I have to walk in alignment like it already, I have to be convinced of that. That's what true faith really is. And I'm not trying to get back into the message, but it coincides with me reading what I'm about to read to you. In Matthew 16, because it's the power of your confession. It's the power of understanding what it is that's been revealed to you through the Word of God. Because what we have to understand is revelation of God's Word is literally life-changing. Revelation is so I looked it up in the Greek and it's really what it is an uncovering, right? So if something's covered, you uncover it and you discover something that you've maybe have never seen before. And so when you see it with your eyes, then you can see it. It's seeing is believing. Seeing is believing, right? So if I was to show you this exotic flower, it's only found in you know, the jungles of Brazil, and it only blooms in June of you know, every 10 years, you'd be like, "Oh, I want to see it." And I'd wrap it up for you and then I'd uncover. You'd see what that looks like and you'd be convinced that that's an exotic flower. And so it is, and that's kind of like a weak thing, but so it is with the Word of God. When there's revelation, there's something that was hidden from you that God himself took the veil off of to make you see so that you can believe. Because seeing really is believing. And I'm saying it's seeing with the eyes of your understanding, not by what you see in the natural. Because again, we are spirit. Spirit is more real than anything you see in the natural. And so when we understand these things, then we can grab hold of these truths and make them work for us. And so in order for us to walk in faith, in order for us to speak, listen, so many of us have been able to speak things and they don't come to pass. And you're like, well, I've been saying that, you know, I've been saying to be healed for the last 2.5 years. I still got a hot headache every day. By your stripes, I'm healed. By your stripes, I'm healed. But there hasn't really truly been a revelation that has been uncovered with the eyes of your understanding that make you come to the realization to know. I know what that looks like now. Now, if somebody said there's an exotic flower in the jungles of Brazil that only blooms every 10 years, I know what that looks like. You can't tell me otherwise. I've seen it with my own two eyes. Well, we have to come to that understanding with the word of God. When it comes to our healing, when it comes to finances, when it comes to our marriage, our peace, our joy, our fruitfulness. And if you can't see it in the word of God, you can never become it. And so that is the problem. And so I'm reading this this scripture from Matthew chapter 16. And it's really important for you to understand. I have to burp, hold on. So it's really important. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, he said to who? He said to who? He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Talking about the power of now. Did I talk about the power of now? I don't remember. I don't remember. I feel like I've been talking to myself because I currently am. But the I am that I am, the eternal now, that's Jesus. That's God. He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. He always was. He always is. And he is the I am that I am. So there's not really a period of time in the spectrum of the eternal God, because he's eternal and we are not. So we can't really grasp that. I can't even like put that into words, but I will be able to someday. So what happens? What happens is that he says, "Who do you say that I am?" I don't even know why I got into the now. I'll tell you why you get into the now. Because the now is so important. Then the right now, you have to understand, if God does not have a tomorrow, the only way he can do anything for you is right now. So then you approach him a little bit different. Don't you? Because if God doesn't work with tomorrow or yesterday, he only works in the right now, then you can come boldly before the throne room of heaven and ask what you will, believing that you have received without doubting, and it shall be given. Your request shall be given to you. But you have to have it for now. So when you go up to somebody in the now and say, can you get me my keys? You're not just like throwing it out there and like, oh, maybe someday in the future, this person, Craig, we'll call him Craig. Craig, I know I asked you to get my keys, and you know, just someday, I hope that you get me those keys because I need it to start my vehicle. And then you kind of just leave it off, and you know, no expectation that Craig is going to go get your keys. That's silly. When you ask Craig to get his key, your keys, you expect for that to happen immediately. There's not like I'll wait 7 years for this to happen. You say, Craig, I need my keys. Go and get them. And you know what? There are certain things in the Word of God that you can place a demand on. The promises of God are yes and amen. So that means anything he's promised here already belonged to you. So when you come to the throne room of God, you come in with boldness and you decree a thing because it's already been decreed over my life. I don't have to beg. I don't have to plead with God to heal my body. I can say, Father, according to your word in Isaiah 53, by your stripes, I have been made whole. And what ends up happening? I believe I receive it right now. The current situation that I am and the current symptoms, notwithstanding, I receive it now. I take it. See, the violent take it by force. And people want to just be cutesy around God. And he doesn't, God is strong. He's powerful. He's attracted. Like begets like. Like is, and when we talk about God, God's not like this crucified Jesus, like bloody and beaten. He's all powerful. Anybody who's ever even heard his voice drops to the ground in sheer terror, sheer panic. I mean, I just pass out because of the strength and power. And if God the Father is like that, we, his sons and daughters, are like him too. I wish you would understand that. Because then the approach will be different. Oh, God, just heal me. I just really wish that you would heal me. And like, God, in your time, and if it be your will. And he's like, oh, I don't even hear what she said. I don't even know what that is. I don't know. Can't hear that. And it's evident that there's no word backing it, because the word of God actually says, by his stripes, I've been made whole. So everything else that I don't see has to fall back. It has to fall into alignment with what it is that I see in my spirit. The revelation that I received from the word of God, given to me by God. Nobody can make that revelation for you. I want you to understand that. You can teach about it. I can teach this. I can let you know. I can push you in the right way. I can nudge you in the right direction. I could, you know, kick your butt a little bit. That's what I'm here for. Stomp on those toes. Get you offended a little bit so that you can think up out of that mess. Instead of throwing yourself a pity party, ain't nobody got time for no pity party. It's time to get up off your bum and continue to fight the good fight of faith. It ain't a good fight if you weren't guaranteed the victory. And that's why it's a good fight. And so, you know, you have to have that revelation come alive on the inside of you for yourself. Which, what does that mean, sis? How do I get that? You read the freaking Word of God. I know. I'm sorry. I'm a little irritated because it's so simple that only a dummy would get that like twisted. Only some dummy would get you thinking that you have to be saved for 15 years in order to get a revelation from God's word, that the God's word's too intense. I don't really understand. This is, get the New Living Translation and read. And read every single day. And before you read, say, Father, open my eyes to understand your word. Reveal something to me today as I search the scriptures on healing. Then Google it. And see what you find and be blessed. It's that revelation, ladies and gentlemen, that changes your life. It's that revelation in the Word of God. I don't hear nobody in this Baptist podcast. Where's the organ? So you have to find it for yourself. And when you find it for yourself, nobody can talk you out of that. You don't need no pastor to lay hands on you. You don't need to try to find somebody to help you. God didn't make us to be weak. He made us to be strong. There are times where we need a jolt of electricity to come on the inside of us. That's what miracles, signs, and wonders are. Sometimes we need a little bit of that jolt, you know, make us come alive again. But that's not for the believer. Like that's for like the baby believer. At this point in time, you should be believing God for the impossible and seeing that it comes to pass. That's what a true believer is. A true believer is a star that shines brighter and brighter. What's a star? It gives direction. It's beautiful. People gaze at it and wonder, wow, that's amazing. How is that? Oh, that's what I said. We're supposed to be a star. We're not supposed to be beggars just barely making it to heaven. So he said, who do you say that I am? Think about that. He didn't say, who do you think I am? Like, I've never said, who do you say I am to anybody? Like, who do you think I am? If somebody like, you know, because I have a twin. So they're like, which one are you? And I'm like, who do you think I am? Who do you think? I've had to say that like a zillion times in my life. Who do you think I am? I don't tell them because I think it's funny. I think you're Magalis. No, wrong. So I've never said, who do you say I am? They'd be like, what are you doing? Who talks like that? But there was purpose in him saying that. Who do you say? What is it that you speak out of your mouth that I am? And you know who the only one who said anything is? Because he said it to the group of disciples there. But the only one who piped up to answer him was Simon Peter. And Simon Peter, verse 16 of Matthew 16, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Think about that. Let's pause. Whoop! Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. When we talk about the human perspective, we're talking about the five senses: smell, sight, taste, touch, sound, right? Everything that you're seeing right now, everything. So when Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, there's no human that brought you to this understanding. This was solely the Spirit of God. My Father who is in heaven, Jesus said, reveal this to you. God the Father who is in heaven is a spirit. God is spirit. So who revealed that the fact that Jesus was the Son of God? It was by the Spirit. And that revelation that Peter received from God himself is available to you right now. And he's looking for you to press in. He's looking for you to square off some time in your day to search the scriptures. And I want to know more about you. That's how I start my every day. I want to know more. Tell me more. You said you'd save the best for last. We're it. This is the last generation on this earth to be present before the coming of Jesus Christ. So if he saves the best for last, that's you. That's me. That's his revelation. I want revelation. I want new revelation. I want new insight on the Word of God. And he can give it to you if you want it. But understand this, you're going to have two different types of point of views in your life. You're going to have the human point of view, which is your flesh and your blood, or you're going to have God's point of view, which is 100% spirit, which is 100% faith, which is 100% word. And so it says, and I also say to you, Peter, that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So understand this. With that revelation came Peter's assignment. So if you don't have an assignment, you don't know what in the world I'm supposed to be doing. It's because you haven't pressed in to get a revelation from God's word. Because when you have a revelation of who God is in your life, then the assignment comes. There was a blessing for him to uncover that revelation given to him by God himself. And not anybody else got that promise. Not everybody else got that assignment. He said, on you, Peter, I'm going to build my church. On this rock, I will build my church. So think about this. For everyone that's thinking, like, what's my purpose? What's my thing? If Peter simply understood by the revelation of God that Jesus was the Son of God, and that unlocked his destiny. What does that mean for you? If you press in, you start studying the word. I'm telling you, when people say the answer is in the word of God, that is 1,000% truth. Everything you need is found right here in the word of God. And it doesn't make sense. You're thinking like, well, if I read about something in Ephesians, how is it going to unlock? You don't know. I don't know. It's a wonderful mystery, and I love it. I love that it's faith. Faith is so powerful. And look at this. Who do you say I am, Peter? And then he said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but the Spirit of God has. So the only way for you to say something that moves God, because that was a statement of faith that Peter had released. And Jesus was like, ooh, child, Peter, you don't even know what you just said. I think you do, though. Ooh, but what you don't know is here's your assignment. That revelation, that word of faith that just came out of your mouth, that just unlocks something in heaven. Let me tell you what it is. And boom, his assignment. So you can't say, I'm healed, without having first seen yourself healed. Having first have a revelation from God that God himself has uncovered to you before even saying something in faith. That's where the discrepancy is. That's why people can say, I'm rich, and they're broke as a joke. They're not healed. They're not happy. I'm happy, I'm joyful, you know, just gotta, and see, that's why there's great importance, right? I'd rather side on that than saying something stupid. But really, what your heart will prove is that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there's just certain things where you could just be fake and phony about it. I believe, and God's like, I can't really, as much as that's okay, I'd rather you be saying something positive than something anti-scriptural. But the thing is, you are what you are. Deep in your heart, you've already made up your mind to believe that you're going to die, so you're going to die. You've already made up in your heart that you know, this is going to be a miserable marriage. It's going to be a miserable marriage, boo-boo, yeah? You've already made up in your mind that this is not going to work out. This is going to be a failure. This business is going to crash. I'm always going to be poor. Then just buckle in. But buckle up. And get ready for a hellacious ride. But the word of God changes that. The word of God makes you see yourself in a different point of view. With different eyes. And it's only then that you can have what you say. I don't hear nobody. Because you can't say it if you don't really believe it. And you can't really believe it if there hasn't been a revealed word. And that revelation is the sight You have to see it. And if you can't see it, then you'll never be able to say it. So when we talk about the revealed truth, it's seeing something that was hidden, now brought to light. Now I can see it with my own eyes. I see it. I understand it. That's what that's about. Seeing first, speaking second, and then receiving it. That's what walking in faith is. That's what living in the spirit is. It's denying yourself the privilege of walking in the flesh, walking in the blood. I'm sick. I feel sick. I don't feel innocent. And so you could even say, my father hasn't revealed this to you, but my father who is in heaven. So you could say that revelation is seeing, because it is. And now look at this. On verse 21, Jesus literally, like two verses later, Jesus starts predicting and telling his disciples that he's going to go and get crucified. And so in verse 22, he says, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, he released a word, and he said, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Well, what a bold thing to say. He just loves it. It just proves that Peter loved Jesus so much. And then Jesus was like, Peter, I know you love me so much, but stop. Stop, Peter. Like, these things really do have to happen. No, this is how Jesus responds. He says, get behind me, Satan. He doesn't say Satan. He doesn't say Satan. He said, I'm going to build the rock. Okay, I'm going to build my church on this rock. And then just a few verses down, he's like, Satan, get thee behind me. Because I don't know what you're dabbling in or whatever. No, he says, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And there's another version that says, you're not seeing things. Let me find that Bible, because this is, I think this is the New King James Version, which I'm at. Let me find it in the New Living Translation, because I want to see if that... Okay. So where is it? Oh, I'm Matthew 17. It's Matthew 16. My bad. Only an evil and adulteress. That's not it. Okay. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Okay. We already dealt with this. Okay. And then Peter took him aside, and Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Quite different than what I just read, which was, get behind me, Satan, you're an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So it just puts a little bit more perspective in it when it says, you're not seeing things merely from you're seeing things merely from a point, a human point of view, not from God's point of view. And so think about this. The same Peter that had the Spirit of God revealed to him that Jesus was Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, he also out of his mouth released something that was anti the truth of Jesus. He said, no, I have to do these things. So Satan, get behind me because you're dangerous trap to me. And you're only seeing. So what's that seeing? So this point of view now is not the God point of view, like we were talking about just moments ago. This point of view is seeing things from a human perspective, going based on the five senses, going based on fear, right? Because he was afraid that he was going to lose his friend, the one whom he loved, the flesh, the blood. Now when Jesus said flesh and blood have not shown this, have not revealed these things to you, but the Spirit of God did, on this side of the coin, he's saying, no, now flesh and blood have revealed these things. You've used your humanistic point of view to come to that conclusion and say something dumb. And then he talks about, if anybody wants to be my follower, in verse 20, 24, you have to take up your cross and follow me. And he was saying this to everybody so that everybody could hear. Because he said it publicly so everybody could hear that he called Peter Satan. Because he was ticked off. He's like, listen, just moments ago, I told you that this revelation came to you from God himself. That's what I need you to stay in. That's what I, listen, when God says to walk in the Spirit daily, that the righteous shall live by faith. When do you live in a 24-hour span? If you said 6 hours, then you need to go ahead and check your pulse. Are you all right? When I ask, when do you live in a 24-hour time period? The answer is 24 hours if you're alive. How many days do you live in a week? 7 days. We live 7 days. It's not rocket science here. We live 7 days. So when God says the righteous or the just live by faith, that means this is applicable every single day. And in fact, that's what we should be doing. We should disregard the fear. We should disregard the sound. We should disregard the sight. We should disregard the flesh. Those motivators that we see to bring us down that road. Disregard it. Ignore it. Because living in faith requires you, and this is right on the heels of him calling him Satan again, verse 24. And he says, you got to take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross. So when you take up your cross to follow Christ, you are literally putting yourself to death every single day. And I'm not saying physical you. I'm saying you're not obviously committing suicide is what I'm saying. But when you're willing to follow Jesus, you deny yourself daily. So everything of self-dependence, everything of your self-interest, pursuits, anything that's contrary to the word of God, anything that's carnal, you are putting into submission. You are denying yourself. That's what taking up your cross is. And what taking up your cross looks like for Peter in that moment should have been like, even though I don't understand it, I'm gonna shut up. Or even though I don't want this to happen because I'm gonna love him, I because I'm gonna miss him. I put those things under subjection and I understand the will of God has to be fulfilled. But he wasn't. See, there's certain gears and things that we start going in our Christianity. It's like, oh, we're in first gear here, and sometimes we'll get into fifth gear. If you don't drive stick, I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but you shift in and out, and God's like, no, but put it in five all the way. Just go full throttle, dive in. Don't just be treading a little bit in ankle deep. Or knee deep and waist deep. Just throw yourself in. Believe God and take him at his word every single day. Follow Christ daily, not for just a little bit. One thing I know is Jesus is my great shepherd. He's the great shepherd of us all. He's the shepherd. So I'm the sheep. If I was a sheep, there hasn't been in the history of sheep, the flocks, and the shepherds, where the sheep is like, you know what, I'm just gonna go and do my thing for a little bit, shepherd, and then I'll come back here, and we'll continue to do business as usual. I'ma do me. I'll come back. And do you know how many people are doing that right now? Like a sheep, they never take off because they know it's certain death. It's inevitable. So you don't have a viable enough reason for you to take a hiatus, quit believing, quit being in faith, quit being in the word. Even a day. A day could cause you major headaches if you take it off. Because the devil, he's roaming about this world, seeking whom he may devour. So he doesn't have a day off. You don't take a day off. And this is where we step into the, homie, don't play that. Homie ain't going to play. We aren't going to get ourselves involved in that no more. Because I don't take a day off. I don't take 2 days off. I don't take a week, a month off. So you take up your cross and fall. And that's what Jesus was saying. You want to step into this thing called faith? Then I need you to take up your cross daily. Deny what you see. Because if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And so I'm telling you, stand on the truth, be convinced of it, have God reveal it to you, begin to see it with the eyes of understanding. That's when the saying, that's why you know one statement in faith is enough to get the job done. I'm getting ahead of myself because we're going to go into verse 2 or part 2 because we're looking at Matthew 21 in the moments to come or in the next podcast. But I want you to see that. You have to see the word of God. Because when you see it, seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. Revelation is seeing with your eyes, the eyes of your understanding. And so it's a choice for you to follow through and be hungry. That's why only the hungry and the thirsty are the ones that are going to be filled, are the ones that are going to thirst no more. And so until you get that hunger on the inside of you to search the scriptures, God, speak to me. Then there's a revelation that takes place that you could say something and it grab hold and bring into manifestation. That's what the faith is, a substance. That's when we talk about substance, the substance is the seeing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It just doesn't stay in the realm of hope. Faith is the electricity that makes that thing work. And if you see through, and if you've ever lost power, you understand, wow, there's a lot that I need, for that electricity to power. And you find yourself like in a corner, like just rocking back and forth, hoping to God that the electricity comes back. Because you don't really realize how much electricity, your house requires. And so when we understand these things, that's what hope is. Hope is the toaster. Hope is the refrigerator. Hope is the TV. Hope is the Xbox and the internet box. But the electricity is what puts those things to work. Hope is, I'm healed. That's a promise. I'm already healed. Faith brings that into the realm of your reality. And that the substance of that is seeing it for yourself. I see it. Faith comes alive on the inside of it, of me. And then I can speak those things. That's a point of contact for your faith. I speak those things, and then all of a sudden, It's the evidence of things that I can't see with my natural senses. But there is evidence to it. You might not see it right now, but there is evidence. And so that's when we talk about what faith is, the substance. Faith is the word. The word of God needs to be revealed to you so that you could see it, so that you can be convinced that this hope that I have is surely going to come to pass. It's already done, in fact. And then before you know it, there's evidence.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.